Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it's what I'm going to preach about tonight, a crowbar Christian. Amen. I'd like to be that, and hopefully we, by the help of the Lord, I can get this across to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and verse number 9, the Bible said, two are better than one, because they have a good report for their labor, for if they fall, the one will what? Lift up. Man. Did anybody here like to lift up your fellow that's down? I said, would anybody here like to lift up somebody? You ever use a crowbar and, around home, of course, it's a lot different around home. The ground is, it's more rocky, and you can't hardly. We dug a little 4 or 5 foot hole to put our light pole up just a few months ago, back January, February. The snow was flying, and it had about 20 degrees out there, I said, I'm going to be smart. I'm going to rent me one of those hole diggers that, big old 5 or 6 horsepower motor, and 2 men on one side. Anybody ever use them? And we got that, and that ground was so hard that, and I'd put all my weight. Now, that's a whole lot. I'd put all my weight just bear down. I'd say, man, what's wrong? You're too skinny over there. Let's go. And he put all his weight, and it just. And you know what? Even with that probably $1,000 machine, guess what we had to end up using? We throw that old thing over to the side and said, forget that. Oh, it's easier with this. So we got the crowbar. You know what I'm talking about? Work it loose, you know. There have been times we pick up something, a rock, it's too heavy for somebody, and go give me the crowbar. That's what I want to preach about. For if they fall, the one will lift up his, but woe to him that is alone. Seems like I've heard that from somewhere. But woe to him that is alone, for when he falleth, there's not another. For he has not another to help him up. Thank God for my friend. Thank God for a crowbar Christian. You ever have anybody just call you on the phone or pat you on the back and pick you up? Okay. Praise God. It seemed like it's awful quiet on that one. You know, I think we can all sing that song. I've been lied on. I've been cheated. Talked about. Mistreated. I heard Brother Gabbard say one time, he said, that's my song right there. That's my song. I've been lied on. I've been cheated. I've been talked about. I've been mistreated. I don't know all the words of it, but there's a bunch of them right through there. Anybody ever, how many's ever experienced that? Well, we're in the same boat then. Hey, I sure don't want to be a friend like that does my friend like that, do you? I want to be one of them fellows that if I see my brother down, I'm going to say, come on, we can make it. Come on, man, you're stronger than that. Let's get up here. Here's my hand. Here, I'm going to pray with you. We'll go on a fast together. We'll, y'all with me? All right. There's a scripture over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. You know, you got to back up with what you're going to preach with the Bible. You know that, don't you? If you ain't got the Bible to back you up, you're in trouble. So let's go find us a New Testament verse for somebody that is a help. I'm talking about a help. Anybody can put down. Anybody can say, I didn't think he had it anyhow. God showed me 6 months ago he was going to fall. Well, if God showed you, why didn't you go to fasting? If you see I'm going to fall, go to fasting. Go to praying. Go to seeking God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, verse 28, very interesting verse. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily, prophets, thirdly, teachers, after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, and what's the next word? Helps. Wow. Helps. I can't remember where I got this. I've never heard anybody preach on a Crowbar Christian. But probably 23 years ago, I walked into a bookstore and it had a little pamphlet. I've lost it. I don't have it anymore. And the title of that pamphlet was Crowbar Christians. And it used that verse right there. And from that day to this, I've never forgotten that little pamphlet I read on Crowbar Christians. Wow. Praise God. Well, y'all, just stay with me here. We're going to try to preach to you. I want to go to a verse in Proverbs 17. I know I'm going slow here. So hopefully when this thing, hopefully we'll shift gears here in a second, just in a moment. I might be shifting in the first because I feel like I'm in Bulldog, but you sisters won't understand that, but you brothers probably will. Proverbs 17 and verse 17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A brother is born for adversity. Praise God. I want to preach to you tonight on a Crowbar Christian with the Lord's help. I remember I was preaching a revival some years ago, probably close to Hope's 14, or just turned 15, so it's probably been right at 16 years ago. I was preaching a revival for an elder gentleman named T.R. Stump. I don't know, most of you probably haven't heard T.R. He's an elder man in the Richlands area, Brother Horton, Brother Randy Webb, and some of them brothers. I know those are familiar names, but in that area there's another church by an elder minister named T.R. Stump. They got a great church. We was preaching a revival there many years ago, and I never will forget. We had just come, and we were there maybe the first or second night, but I remember Brother Stump telling me they had just had a death in the church, and a lady died in the church while they were having a Holy Ghost meeting one night, he said. And this lady was up around the altar shouting on her knees. And Brother Stump said she was shouting. The place was just coming apart, you know, one of them old-fashioned gully washers, Holy Ghost meeting. And Brother Stump said all of a sudden, while she was shouting up there on her knees, she fell over in the altar and died right there. But I never forget Brother Stump saying, he said, Brother Simpson, he said, I don't know what it was about her, but she was one of the best helps that I've ever had in my life. In all of my years of pastoring, amen, she was a tremendous help. Said, I don't know how she knew it, but somehow she would know when I was down or discouraged, or Sister Stump was down and discouraged, and all of a sudden we'd hear a knock on the door, and we'd go to the door, and there would be Sister so-and-so, and she'd have a big cake or a pie or something of my wife or me or something of that nature. And she'd say, oh, Brother Sister Stump, I just wanted to let y'all know how much I appreciated you. And Brother Stump would say, I'd start crying. And I'd say, Sister, you just don't know the timing. You just don't know, amen, what you have, you know. And they would take that and shut the door, and they'd just go to crying, Brother Stump would say. And they would be just saying, devil, you lie. You said nobody cares. And here's old Sister so-and-so. And Brother Stump said she would do that for years and years, without fail. There'd be a phone call. There'd be a knock on the door. There'd be a card in the mail. There would be some sort of encouraging word. It seemed like right when they just needed it. Amen. You know what that lady was? She was a Crowbar Christian. Amen. She could sense and see that somebody maybe had been down, somebody that was discouraged, and she was a brother that was born for adversity. You know what true friends are? True friends are like the stars, the value of whose light is only really understood when all other lights are absent. Did you catch that? True friends are like the stars, the value of whose light is only really understood when all other lights are absent. You can tell me that you are my friend, but it's when I'm in trouble. It's when all my friends seemingly have forsaken me. Amen. Will you stand by me? That's true friendship. When a man blind from his birth was asked what he thought the sun was like, he replied, it's like friendship. A friend that loves at all times, the Bible said, is born, or that is becomes a brother in adversity. Amen. A friend cannot be known in prosperity, and an enemy cannot be hidden in adversity. A false friend is like your shadow. As long as there is sunshine, he sticks close. But when you step in the shade, adversity and hard times, you can't find them. A false friend. I don't want to be a false friend. I want to be that crowbar Christian. Don't you? I want to be that Christian that the Bible talks about. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are what? Spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest also thou be tempted. But too many times, I don't want to be mean because I want to try to preach encouragement, but too many times we see somebody that's overtaken in a fault and we call our neighbor. Do you know what? I seen brother so-and-so. Do you know I seen sister so-and-so? And we tell about 16 other people in the church when the Bible tells me, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, this is what you should do. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Go get that spiritual crowbar and say, God help brother John. He's down. I can sense the devil's attacking his mind. And God, I pray for him. I plead the blood over his life. Oh, God. And you know what you want to do? You want to sort of pat him on the back when you see him. How you doing, John? How you doing? I just want to let you know I've been praying for you. I've been thinking about you. I love you and I appreciate you. And you remember that time you testified 4 months ago? It blessed me. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. You know what we need here at Summit? Is some good old fashioned crowbar Christians. Hallelujah. I mean, we need somebody. I mean, when's the last time? Now, come here, okay? Come here. When's the last time somebody had enough confidence in you that they called you for prayer? They had enough confidence in you. They said, I know I can call him. I can trust him. I can tell him that I'm in trouble and he won't tell anybody. I can tell her I'm in trouble. She won't tell anybody. You know, we used to have prayer partners because we knew that verse. It said, if any two agree touching any one thing, it shall be done. And we trusted one another. I'll tell you something. The one of the opposites of that is the scripture that says, don't bite and devour one another or you'll be consumed of one another. Too many times in the house of God, we have too much of this and not enough of this. Amen. We have too much criticizing and murmuring and fault finding when we need some good old fashioned crowbar Christians that will pull along a sister to a sister and say, hey, I tell you what, sister, I'm going to be a praying this week. I'm going to be a fasting. I'm going to be seeking the face of God. I'm going to call your name out every day in prayer. I can tell you're in trouble. I can sense. I know what you're going through. I see your financial burden. I see you're having some marital trouble. I see you're having problems with your children. But I want you to know, amen, I'm going to be praying for you. That's what we need. I preached here a few weeks ago about Job on preaching. Can you preach to yourself? You remember what Eliphaz said? Job, you've lifted others up. Amen. Amen. You got to realize he was telling the truth. Amen. The Bible doesn't denounce that. Amen. Job was a man that was a crowbar Christian. In his prime, amen, he was one that would get alongside and pick his brother up. What a challenge. What really a challenge, Brother John, to be a crowbar Christian. I mean, it's easy. You know, you don't have to be really, really saint. You really don't have to be real super spiritual to sense sometimes when somebody's in trouble in the house of God. Really, when you come into a small country church like this, 60, 70, 80 members, you can pretty much tell when somebody's not just doing right. You can sense that they're just fighting the devil, or especially if it goes on two or three services or a week or two, and you say, man, sister Sally, she's just bothered. I may not know what it is, amen, but I'm going to take her to God in prayer. Amen. Maybe I'll send Sister Sally a card. Maybe I'll give her a phone call. Oh, maybe I'll say an encouraging word. Oh, you know what that would do? You know what? If everybody would speak only encouraging words, I wonder what would happen at Summit Church if everybody decided, I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to repeat a tale that I've heard. I'm not going to tell somebody what I heard about somebody else and be accused of sowing discord. But the only thing's going to come out of my mouth is words of encouragement. You know what would happen? All of heaven would break loose. We'd break out in an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival. Amen. But as long as the devil, amen, can convince some of us that it's better to complain and murmur and to criticize, I will tell you it's not better. Amen. What we should do is be a crowbar Christian. Woo! Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 25 and 16 talks about David's men protecting Nabal's men. And the Bible said they were a wall to us. Was it, who was it? Was it Brother Boney or somebody in Sunday school this morning that talked about, or somebody in church talked about David's three mighty men who broke through that troop for their friend David? You remember that? Was that this morning in Sunday school? You know what that was? Those three men were, they were encouragers. D.L. Moody said, he told a story of a fire in a house. And said the firemen got there and put the ladder upon the second floor. And some children were up there crying and screaming. And there were several hundred people that gathered around. And the fireman got up there and he started climbing that ladder. And fire started coming out from that, amen, house. And the fireman stopped and he looked down and he looked at those children crying and he could feel the intense heat. But Brother D.L. Moody said, but all of a sudden all those folks standing at the bottom started cheering, come on, come on, you can do it, come on, you can do it, you can do it, just three more steps and you can do it. And you know what D.L. Moody said? That fireman turned around and by the help of God he quickly jumped up there, grabbed those two or three youngins, amen, and gave them strength, pulled them out of that window and brought them down to safety. Yes, they was burned some, but they didn't die. Why? Because somebody stood by and said, you can do it. Amen. Gave them an encouraging word. Amen. It would have been easy to say, I wouldn't do it if I was you. You'd get burned. I wouldn't do it if I would. No. D.L. Moody said, amen, they encourage that firefighter to go right through the fire. Amen. There's some here tonight going through the fire. There's some right here going through a test. There's some right here going through a valley. There's some right here climbing the highest mountain you've ever climbed. But ye which are spiritual, is anybody in the house spiritual? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Put your arms, put your, woo! That's what we need. We don't need to have another casualty. We don't need to have another one backslide. We need to say we're not giving one up to the devil. That's right. We're going to stand for one another. Listen, I don't love you because you do everything like me. I'd be a sorry Christian if I loved you. The only reason I loved you is because you did and said everything I did or say or whatever. I love you because the Spirit of Christ is in me. Just like I love the drunk and everybody out there that's lost and dying. Come on here. I can't pick my... No. If you're hurting, I want to hurt. Amen. The Bible talks about in Corinthians, you're members together, aren't we? Aren't we the local body of Christ? Help us not to have no big eyes or no little U's. Help us to have no little cliques in the church. Come on, if you're not in that inner circle. Now, I don't want that. I don't want to have any cliques, and God forbid that I should have any cliques. God forbid that I make over the man that's got lots of money and the man that don't hardly have any sit on the back pew. That's in the scriptures. You know that, ain't it? Amen. The man with the gold ring just said, come on up here. Come up here. We're going to make you head deacon. Come on up here. We're going to make you head. You got lots of. No. I want to be just as good to the poor man as to the rich man. I want to be just to the, amen, just as good to the lady that comes here and looks as holy as you. You want to look and to the lady that maybe walk in, amen, with a tight mini dress on and ungodly attire. I want to show the same type of Christian love. Come on here. Love overcomes evil. How do I overcome evil? You overcome evil with good. The devil can't do nothing with a church when they learn to love one another. Help me preach a little bit. I said the devil can't tear a church. Our church is in trouble. I don't know what we're going to do. I tell you what, the only way we can overcome this is if we love one another. You take a church that loves one another and forgives one another and looks over each other's faults, the devil can't do nothing with that, and it'll be a powerhouse for God. Woo! Hallelujah! Somebody comes to you, Brother Daniel, and says, did you see David Coburn? Can you believe I seen him going into a store that sold and imply some crazy something. Brother Daniel, if somebody tells you that, don't go call Jonathan and Earl and James and Brother Ronnie Gore and Brother Lockhart and Brother Boney. And Brother, I tell you what George told me. He told me he seen David. You know what you're going to do? I'm going to say, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. That's my brother. And I'll tell you one thing. I might not say to that guy told me that, but I'm going to say, I ain't going to spread that. He's going to stop with me. I ain't telling nobody nothing. The Bible said, let everything out of the two or more mouth. I'm not going to go all over the church and tell something. Am I making any sense here? You know, same way with some of you sisters. That you see sister so-and-so. I'm telling you what, she had a skirt up to here, and she had a split besides that. And go to telling everybody in the church. Come on. No. I'm going to say, no. I'm going to say, Lord, would you please help Sister Sally, Lord? I know the devil's been attacking her mind, making her debate, Lord. Oh, God, please, Lord. I'm going to fast tomorrow. God, Sally's got three children. And God, I know the devil would destroy her marriage. Am I making any? I'm talking about a crowbar Christian. I'm talking about saying, oh, God. But you know what? The sad thing about it. And I don't want to be all negative here. That's not my point. But sometimes we'll hear that and we'll go, hey, Shirley, Sally's, they said they seen Sally in this. And hey, Pam, they said they seen Sally in this. And hey, Sue, they said they seen Sally in that. And hey, Georgia Carol, they seen Sally in this. And next thing you know, everybody in the church knows that so-and-so seen Sally in a so-and-so. You ever heard of tail bear? You know, I heard Brother Pittman. Anybody know Brother Pittman? I'm trying to get him to come by. He's my buddy. Me and him close. We're just real close. I like old preachers. Because they'll tell you some mistakes they made and hopefully to save me from having to make some mistakes. And old Brother Pittman, he told that story about that lady that ruined that man's ministry by telling a rumor on him. That she seen him with somebody else and ruined his ministry. He had to resign the church. And I think it was like 20 years later, 30 years later, she was on her deathbed and going to come, you know, dying. And so she wanted to get this right. So she went back and found where that preacher lived at now. Now he's old and he's, you know, past preaching. And, oh, sir, I'm sorry. You remember years ago, I was the one who started that. Is there any way you can forgive me? And that old man said, well, He says, ma'am, it's like going to top of a mountain on top of a mountain when the wind blowing real strong and just taking a pillow and just shaking all the feathers, everything out of it. He said, you reckon they could go back and pick up every feather? She dropped her head. She walked away. I'm not about a crowbar, Christian. I don't want to be guilty of that, do you? I'm trying to help us tonight. I know this is simple. I know this ain't real deep theology. I ain't pulled out no Greek and Hebrew. I'm talking about helping my brother. Help my sister. Oh, what's that song say, that greater vision? If just one more soul would walk down the aisle, it'll be worth every trial. A lifetime of labor. How about you? Huh? Have we got any crowbar Christians in the house? Quiet. I'm just asking. Two are better than one if the one. I heard Brother Billy Atkins say one time, he said, if you see me down, don't talk about me. He said, go to bat for me. Go to prayer. Go to pray. Go to seeking God. Boy, I don't ever want to have an attitude. Well, I knew they was going to fall. I knew they just wasn't. Mm-mm. If you tell me that, then tell me you prayed and fasted. Tell me that you sought the face of God. Tell me you shed tears. Tell me you prayed and cried if you really thought John and Sally was going to get a divorce and going to destroy their home and destroy their children. Tell me. No, I tell you what we need. We need some crowbar Christians. We need somebody that loves one another. Oh, I wish I could preach. Amen. We need that scripture out of Romans 15 and verse 1. It says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14 talks about, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, but also support the weak. Be patient toward all men. There's a word in the New Testament, I don't know if I've ever heard it preached, it's called forbearance. I've always wanted to preach on it, never have. Forbearance. Being long-suffering one toward another. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and 4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen. Job 4 and 3 said, behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was fallen, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. Wow. Jesus even said, this is what the Bible said about Jesus. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Wow. You mean I am to help lift up the feeble hands that hang down? Ain't that in the scripture? Amen. And Indians did not have a word for a friend. So they simply described a friend as he who carries my burden on his back. Come on. Oh, yes. What about Moses when the battle was going? Who was there to?
Who was there? What was their names? Huh? Help me, Bible readers.
Wow. Have we got any Aarons in the house? Have we got any, what's the other one's name? Have we got any of those in the house? The man in the John chapter 5, he said, I have no man to put me in. I have nobody to help me. But then in Mark chapter 2, the story is told of about a man who was paralyzed on his bed, and he had four men that done what? Carried him to the house where Jesus was at. And there was no room in the house. I heard old Don Rich say, one of them probably spoke up and said, well, you know, wasted trip. One spoke up and said, man, they'll never let us in. The other spoke up and said, man, it's useless. One spoke up and said, let's try. Let's try. And they climbed up them stairs on the roof of that house, and they found something to dig with. It wasn't them that was sick. It was their friend. Sound like a crowbar Christian to me. Sound like somebody said, hey, this man's going to live like this forever. Somebody's got to get to Jesus for this man. Amen. A crowbar Christian. We always want somebody to call us when we're down, don't we? Lord, send somebody my way today. Anybody else ever? What's the old song said? If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from the seeds, he's getting what comes to him. I'm making easy. Whew. My first church, Bob and Mildred Marlowe. Matter of fact, out of the whole church, when they voted on me, I had two no's. And guess who was the two no's? Bob and Mildred Marlowe. They was the only two no's. I didn't know that. I started pastoring there at that first church, and we became great friends. They was an older guy. I was in my mid-20s, and they was probably their late 50s, 60s, something like that, which was real old to me then. It ain't as old now, you know, but back then it was real old. And I'm telling you, we'd have revival, Sister Mildred. You could put a list up, bring pop, chili, you know, whatever. It didn't matter what the list said. They was going to bring something every night. I mean, and he lived on a fixed income. I don't just a few little dollars. They'd bring in a case of pop. And that's when we lived right next door to Parks, and we'd feed them in our house. And they'd bring a case of pop, and she'd fix a pot of chili. So I just thought you might need this, and I just thought you might have extra company. And then next night she'd bring some kind of she could fix a mean cabbage or the best I've ever eaten in my life. Ain't nobody ever come close to Sister Mildred's. Amen. And you know what? About a year later, they come to me. She said, we want to ask you to, and they didn't have to ask. They didn't do nothing wrong, but they said, we were the two that voted no, but said, we just thought you were too young, and you just didn't, and you know what? It was Bob's mom who was a widow woman, godly lady, and she had a television. I don't know if I ever preached against television the whole time I was there. Really? It's hard to believe that, ain't it? As much as I've mentioned here. But it ain't a chip on the shoulder, but we had six families get rid of their television in a year there. Some of the young folks, teenagers, mom and dad wouldn't get rid of them, so they just put it out of their, they just found out we didn't have one, and they got to be friends, and they'd pull them out of their bedroom, and they'd put them in the garage. I remember one family got them in the garage, and because, you know, the kid didn't want it in his room, whatever. And Bob Marlowe's mama got rid of her television and started reading a Bible. And when we had a Bible reading the New Testament, four chapters or six chapters a day, she come to me in 28 days. And she come to church and she said, Brother Simpson, she said, I've read it through. She was the first one. She was such an inspiration. I mean, she got into a tape ministry, started listening to preaching tapes, started reading her Bible. And she was a great lady even before. She learned the Bible, and her entertainment center was not some wicked television, but it was the King James Version Bible. Is that all right? I had to throw a commercial right in there. Amen. She just learned. And man, old Bob and Miller just took to us. And she was a crowbar Christian. I mean, it was just unreal. The calls, the time. I mean, he came to my church that I just left. And that's been 14 years ago that I first met Bob, and brought me $1,000. Sold a house. His mama's house had died a year or so ago. Sister, Brother Bob's mama, amen, and sold the house and brought me $1,000, knocked on the church, and I sat in my office, and I walked over, and he said, here are some tithes from the sale of my mama's house. She always loved you. She always thought a lot of you. I mean, they were such crowbar Christians. powerful. And she patted on our children, and Sabrina was just a small little girl. Hope was just born, a little baby, and I'll never forget. And Mildred come down with cancer a year or two later after I left. And I come home, I was evangelizing, and I went and seen her in that little bitty home in Tennessee, Tazewell, Tennessee. And I walked in there in that bedroom. She'd had cancer for several months and months. We'd been on the road. And Brother Bob said, she don't look, she's not heavy set. Her face is sunk in. I'm just trying to, she don't look anything like that. Don't go in there and, you know. And I said, I'll be all right, Brother Bob. I walked in there, and just like I said, she didn't look like Sister Mildred. I will forget, though. I walked in there, and they had hardwood floors, and her face was laying sideways. And I know that, you know, you just don't think you can get that wore out physically, that you can't even just lift your head up, but you can. My dad got there. So she laid her, I was standing here, and she lay like she'd be looking at me right here. So you know what I did, Brother Daniel? I got on my knees on that hardwood so she could look at me face to face. I started bragging on her. I said, Sister Mildred, I ain't seen you in a few years, a couple of years, because I remember all them cabbage rows, Sister Mildred. She grinned. She chuckled. She said, remember them old yellow roses? Said, Bob had, that was her husband, said, Bob never bought me roses until you come. And said, he bought me them yellow roses. And she just looked, I said, everywhere we go, Sister Mildred and Sabrina goes into Sunday school, she'll come back out and we'll get in the truck and she'll say, they didn't do good as Mildred. I just complimented for about 30 minutes. I'm talking about a crowbar. I was glad I was able to go back and a crowbar. Does anybody want to be a crowbar Christian? This is country preaching, ain't it? This is probably just cornbread preaching. I mean, probably, just, you know, I'm sorry. I know it ain't lima beans and steak, but just cornbread preaching. I mean, crowbar. Sister Mildred, you know what? Sister Mildred died. Bob's still living. We're great friends. Bob come to me, amen, gave me that $1,000, and he started crying, and I started crying. And he said, I'm trying to help you, son. Said, I've been trying to help you. Said, I've been telling everybody, come to your church, come to your church. That you're a good man, that you're good. Come to your church. Hard to believe that he voted against me when I was. That didn't bother me. I never treated him no different. I never told nobody. It didn't matter to me. Because true Christian love isn't if you're good to me, I'm going to love you. But if you do me wrong, you've had to lick. No, true Christian love, Brother Kevin, is it doesn't matter how you treat me. Jesus loved Judas in a way, Sister Letha, that when they were sitting around the table of that 12, and I've said it here before, Sister Jewel, when Judas was sitting there, and he said, one of you shall betray me. Judas was loved by Christ so much, Brother John, that all them other disciples had no idea it was him. Is it I, Lord? Is it I? Even though Jesus knew. I'd like to have that kind of love, wouldn't you? I'd like to have that love that when I knew somebody had talked about me, that I'd go up and just shake their hand and be just as sweet, because the devil can't stand. He can't stand it when you hear somebody say something bad about you that ain't true, and you just be quiet about it. Don't tell anybody about it. Well, I don't know why Sally said that about me. She said that I just was, and I don't know why. You know, Sally said this about me. And, you know my name. You know Sally in church. She said that I was ugly. She's probably telling the truth that she said that. But Sally just said, and she said I wasn't a man and I wasn't nobody. She, you know, Sally. And I went to everybody. But you know what happens if you just shut that thing down? Don't tell us so. Do you know somebody times folks call you and tell you something because they know you'll tell somebody. Looks like some folks will be get tired of being the garbage can. And I'm going to tell you something, devil. I know Sally called me, but I ain't calling nobody else. It's going to stop right here. Because I got children. I got a wife. I got a husband. I got a family that I got to have God's favor. And if I go criticizing, and if I go talking about and packing tales that I don't know if it's the truth or not. Come on here now. But boy, if you just shut that down. You know what? That old person that gossips all the time or whoever, whatever, if they would learn, if they'd call you, you know what you should say? When somebody calls you and just wants to tell you some trash, say, I'm sorry, I don't listen to that anymore. There's no use you calling me if that's all you want to talk is trash about my sister or my brother in church. Because that's where I go. Well, quiet. I know. So I lose a friend. I beg your pardon? Is it really your friend? That every time she calls you, it's a rundown with somebody in the church? Whew. Y'all love me? Come here now. Come on. Is she really your friend? If every time she calls you, it's yik, 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 yik. Or if every time he calls you, it's yik, 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 yik. I sort of doubt it. Why don't we be a Crowbar Christian church? But you know what? What would happen if just, I'm sorry, I don't want to hear that no more. And you know, if you want to call me, fine. If you want prayer or if you want to talk about something else or the weather or what you found on sale or a new dress or the truck you bought, whatever, that's fine. But I just don't want to hear no more about everybody in the church. Come on here, help me preach. You know I'm right now. I love y'all, but let's just tell it like it is. Amen. That's right now. Let's just tell it like that doesn't help. That'd be the same difference between a mom and dad getting to 5 or 6 children and getting over here talking to this child and saying, I just don't know why little Susie over here, she don't come visit me none, and I just don't know why. And then you get over here to, you know, and that one, and you talk about that kid, and you get over there and you talk about your other 4 kids. Well, that'd be a pretty pitiful mom and dad, wouldn't it? Come on here. We wouldn't do that. No, it's our flesh and blood. Sally might not, that might be my daughter. I don't agree with what she's doing, but I love her. She's still my daughter. I know she don't dress right, but she's still my daughter. She ain't even saved. She might be shacked up with a man, but she's still my, I still love her. I'm not going to talk about her. Because that's my daughter. That's my flesh and blood. I care about her. I pray for her every day. I pray God to change. I don't want. If we could think of one another like that. Come on. Come on. Come on. Think of somebody you know discouraged.
Now he's spending his first Sunday.
Think of somebody you know right here.
In the pew alone.
It's discouraged.
There are whispers all around him.
Listen.
His heart breaks in two.
Sing it, Hope.
Wondering who will reach out and help him make it through. Who will be Jesus?
Oh, I love this song.
To help.
Who will be Jesus?
Who shall?
See, Jesus don't live on this earth in a physical form.
Again.
He lives through the body of Christ.
He doesn't need a
some of you. He needs your arms right now to reach out and pat somebody on the back that's discouraged. He might deal with your heart to speak to somebody. Give them a Bible verse. He might move on your heart to give somebody a piece of money. Sing it, Hope. Oh, I love this song. Who will be Jesus?
He doesn't need a judge. He needs a friend.
He needs a friend.
Come on. Who will be Jesus?
Okay, they're not doing right. Okay, you can pick them apart. Does that mean you got to be mean? No. Does that mean you be ugly? No.
Like
that means you show them a little extra love. They don't know what to do with it. Come on, you know how you feel when you fail God and He still loves you? It's like, God, I can't believe You still love me. Out of the failure that I am. Oh, if we could get that same kind of love for one another. And instead of just picking everybody apart, I mean, pick us all to pieces. Come on. We're church smart. We can just pick everybody apart. Lord, help me not see the faults in my brother and my sister. But help me see a struggling soul. Lord, Your word told me to restore, to pray for one another. Provoke one another to good works. Come on. When's the last time you went to your children's Sunday school teacher and say, hey, thank you for teaching my children? When's the last time you went to the teachers at the school and said, thank you for sacrificing your time to teach my children at school? Because they're definitely not getting rich over here. They're sacrificing their time. It's a ministry. Pick it apart if you want to. You're just going to be the person that loses in the end.
Show them love that restores them again.
My Lord.
Oh, they do not need a judge. They need a friend who will be Jesus to them.
My God.
Who will
help us.
Be
Come on, church. Come on.
I
feel like God's talking to our hearts right here tonight. I feel the Holy Ghost. Lord, help us. Help me to love,
God.
Give me a burden for everyone here. Help me to show no difference in anyone.